Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
We've got a rowdy news because people caught a little buzz, and Dan Dunn's going to hang in, and we have good sports coming up as well. First, I'll tell you about Tommy John. Guys, Valentine's Day right around the corner. The only day you want to get caught with your pants down, make sure you're wearing Tommy John. Legs never ride up. Waistband never rolls down. Impossible to get a wedgie. And for the lady in your life, Tommy John has ended the visible panty line, the scourge of visible panty lines, gone, erased by Tommy John. Plus, the most comfortable bras on the planet. Limited edition Valentine's Day underwear and loungewear gift sets for him and for her. All the sets, 10% off. All backed by the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free, guarantee. I'm wearing mine right now. I'm wearing the t-shirt and the underpants. Festive floral print, if you must know. It's the best. It's Tommy John, right, Dawson?
Shop limited edition Valentine's Day gift sets. Again, 20% off your first order when you go to TommyJohn.com/Adam. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat. Stuff and booze. Adam's monthly nut. Adam's monthly nut.
Hey, Corolla fans, Mike Dawson here. I got good news and bad news. Bad news first. We're almost done with this month's sales of Adam's Monthly Nut. Good news is you'll still be able to get all the incredible products from Wallet Ninja after this month's Adam's Monthly Nut. Head to WalletNinja.com to get your fully customizable, American-made credit card multi-tools that'll fix glasses, open bottles, peel fruit, and save the goddamn day. A big thank you to Wallet Ninja for this month. We'll see you in February for another shipment of Adam's Monthly Nut.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Hold on. Getting everybody topped off. One sec.
Whiskey.
All right. So partial results as we record this from the Iowa Democratic Caucus released Tuesday afternoon after Monday night's delay have Pete Buttigieg and Bernie Sanders in the lead. Former South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg was in the lead with 27% of delegates and delegates.
Jesus.
And Senator Sanders.
Fake news.
Behind 25. Except for that one lady. That one lady was not a fan when she heard he was married to a man. In third and fourth, respectively, are Elizabeth Warren with 18% and Uncle Joe, man, 16% for Joe Biden. The release of the partial count comes after heavy criticism, of course, of the vote counting process in the state that forced the Democrats to delay releasing the results after the caucuses. These results are based on 62% of the votes from precincts. In all the 99 states, it'll get easier. Also, I read that there's lots of other states that are using this kind of technology, like Nevada's next in 3 weeks. And everyone's like, don't worry, we got it under control because this app was a disaster.
Voting seems pretty rudimentary. Like it seems in this day and age, we should be able to figure this one out.
Put your little card in the slot.
My feeling with... The more sort of, I think in California, you can vote like 10 days before
11.
The election.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We also have stuff where like people will go door to door and get your vote and bring it in for themselves. And then there's always the controversy about ID and whether it's oppression of colored people or whatever they're complaining about. My feeling is this. Let's just go have a day. You fucking vote on that day or you don't vote on that day. It's on the calendar. It's there.
We all know it's coming.
Do you think that should be a national holiday so you're off work?
It should be a national holiday or you should be able to do a half day. Mm-hmm. Or there just should be basically a rule that says, look, I've lived all over the place. I'm not particularly motivated, and there's always a place to vote. Mm-hmm. It's down at the church. It's down at the corner.
School.
It's down at the school. It's down to whatever. It's all kind of on the way. And then people go, what about some of these people live in rural Mississippi, and they only have a donkey? It's like, okay, then maybe they don't vote.
Maybe they don't vote. Like, I will get by on it. And then they go, well, shouldn't they be allowed to vote? Well, here's the thing. When you live in the fucking sticks, you don't have access to a Costco.
A lot of things.
You
yeah.
just don't have access
Internet's
to a lot
tough
of
to
shit.
Get. Yeah.
You live in the fucking sticks. Yeah. That's your thing. Now, there's probably advantages that go along with that. And you can kill all the Avon ladies you want and stash them under your porch. And nobody's the wiser.
Avon ladies.
I'm dating myself.
But if you're off the grid, you're off the grid.
I remember those pink Cadillacs lined up
Avon
in front of
calling?
His house.
What I find more fascinating about this whole thing is just how much weight people put on. Like, is there a state that is less representative of what the modern Democratic Party is than Iowa?
Yeah, in the whole state of Iowa, there are less people than in Los Angeles or in Orange County.
There's like one. Yeah. There's like one black guy in Iowa, right? Isn't there? How many? Who's there? Like it's not representative of the modern
the
Democratic Party at all. No.
For the Hawkeyes.
Like, who cares? I'm sorry. I don't care what people in Iowa think about who should be the next president. Why don't we matter more in California? We're like half the United States is here
because we're a bunch of liberal douchebags and nobody cares about us.
Mad.
Well,
I'm moving
two things.
To the sticks.
A, if we have a black listener as a female, we need you to move to Iowa and mate so that we can repopulate. Yeah.
You hear that, Natoya?
Number one.
Yeah.
Number two. So there's all the controversy. Make it a fucking
black.
Make it a holiday or a half day or whatever. Again. If you live on a fan boat on the swamp, that's your fucking business. You may not get to vote on this day because we're just having a day. You show up.
Or if it's important to you, park your fan boat that day.
Right. And Uber in.
To extend the analogy.
Right. And show an ID. And if you don't have access to an ID, let's work on that too because it's 2020. Everyone needs an ID. You can't travel. You can't have a life. You can't book anything. You can't really pay taxes. You're not on the grid. If you don't have an ID, you don't exist in this country in any meaningful way. You can't take and you can't give if you don't have an ID. So let's get you an ID. Let's pick a day. Let's make it a holiday. Go in, show your ID, cast your vote. And that'll be it.
That's
we won't
it.
Be waiting for stuff to come in and all that. And look, if you happen to be in Hong Kong and you moved there 4 years ago for business, maybe you don't vote for 4 years. That's fine. That's a choice.
Yeah.
You made it. That's fine. No. I'm fine with it. It's a couple of people spread out.
Speaking of not existing, this just happened on my way here. I got an 800 call and I was like, I'm going to answer it. I was a couple blocks away. And I answered and it said, it was a recorded message. And it said, Dear citizen. Due to suspicious activity on your social security number, we have placed your social security number on hold, right?
Please call this number.
And they're going to erase it. They're going to erase my social security number unless I press 1. And I said to my Uber driver, I go, who falls for this? Like, does somebody actually go, let me press 1?
Uber driver,
and then
with a Russian accent, puts the phone down. doing business.
But who does? Who falls for it?
Shit, he's in the back.
You would be surprised how many people fall for it. I mean,
the call's coming from in the car.
So I did it. And my social security number was erased. Yeah.
Oh, God.
What a horrible thing.
Also, to continue my point, which is folks that move out of town or live on the bayou or whatever, there's probably a Democrat who's on the bayou and there's probably a Republican who's in Hong Kong. So it'll even out.
Don't worry about it.
They'll cancel each other's votes out.
Yeah. And we have an electoral college, so it doesn't really matter anyway.
Right.
Jessica Mann, remember that name? She was on the stand for the Weinstein trial. She talked about him having like possibly burned genitalia, looked like a vagina.
Yeah.
Well, she had a panic attack on the stand, and they all had to sort of break for the day. But she's back. She returned a day after, and according to Deadline, she spoke in an often barely audible voice as Weinstein's defense questioned her about her relationship with him, as well as her psychiatric and emotional history. Mann's testimony was cut short because she started crying and hyperventilating. She couldn't stop. Also on Tuesday, the jury, which we have the court sketches of, the jury was shown nude photos of Weinstein. The images were also introduced as evidence. What sight.
Not when we're drinking whiskey.
You're going to need
a
double.
I just threw up in my mouth. Yeah, this is bad.
It's so funny. $100
whiskey is terrible.
It's still, as a court rendering, it's still a tough putt.
Oh,
it's still tough to look at.
kind of, it's like the Michelin man
lost. He has nice tits, though. I will say that. Yeah. He does have nice tits.
Round. Yeah.
Now, I was asking my fiance this morning how quick before somebody comes onto Twitter and says, hey, no, we know he's a predator, we know he's a rapist, but no body shaming.
Well, it's like if you unwrap the Michelin man and he had a penis that hung over his dick. But here's the, I'm endlessly fascinated by the, there's two things I love in 2020. People not having an ID and courtroom sketch artists.
2020. Like
we're not, no cameras. Okay, well, let's just put a guy that draws everything. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. Or why don't we have one guy with an iPhone and he could tell us everything. No, this guy's a good drawer.
You love his work.
He's good. Yeah, it's like...
Good shadow and light.
It's weird. And now we're looking at a drawing of people looking at drawings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And where did they acquire these photos? Was this like a post arrest photo?
Well, I imagine it would have to be police photos.
Didn't Michael Jackson have to do like the junk thing?
You're right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they made him stand there like that, and somebody had to actually photograph him
and pass it around.
They photographed him, and then someone drew the photograph.
Well, I don't know about that.
No, well, that's for us.
Oh,
no, I imagine the jury is looking at photographs.
For us.
I'm saying, why did they make him stand naked? Because part of the evidence was, what does he look like? What is his
I'm not drawing the line personally, but it's from Jessica Mann's testimony that he basically has a vagina. Maybe they were trying to figure out how accurate that was.
I wonder, you know, when you do the mugshot and you stand next to the, you know, calibrated thing, like 6 foot one, height. You know, whatever the height thing, they have a one for your dick? Like, they gotta have a stick. Like
dick stick?
Well, I mean, that factors in, right?
I guess.
Well, look, they don't write 6'2 on the thing. You stand next to a 7-Eleven door.
You turn sideways.
You know where you're at. Yeah. They gotta have one for your hog, right?
Milliliters.
If memory serves, wasn't there something when the Clinton Lewinsky thing happened where she described something about his genitalia, like he had a mole? Did that happen where they said they had a mole or something?
There's always something about the genitalia. This is why I'm glad to have pedestrian genitalia.
Trump had a mushroom thing,
She
said
that. Right.
Yeah, mine's completely unremarkable.
Yeah,
there's nothing you would look at mine and go, yeah, that's just perfectly
testify about. Yeah.
She's someone on the stand, like if it was us, it'd be like, I don't know, could have been Dan Dunn, could have been Adam Carolla. Like, I don't know.
It wasn't good, it wasn't Joe bad, doll. It was like, just I don't normal. Know. Yeah, it was just there.
It was just there. Could have been any anatomy book I saw.
It was
in
the Joe
high.
Smith of penises.
Right.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it was nothing.
Mm-hmm. You know, Leonardo, when he drew the man?
Yeah.
That was basically it.
Yeah, that's me.
Well, Disney banked $13 billion at the box office last year, but that hasn't stopped the movie juggernaut from going after an elementary school that screened the Lion King remake at a fundraiser last year. So last November, the PTA at Emerson Elementary in Berkeley, California, held a Parents Night Out fundraiser where parents and students watched the movie from 2019. But there was a problem. They didn't have permission to show the movie, which earned $1.7 billion worldwide. Apparently, it was just one of those things where someone bought the movie at Walmart, put it on while the kids are running around, the parents are talking. Well, last week, nearly 3 months after the event, the school got an email from Movie Licensing USA demanding $250 out of the $800 the event raised for the school because they technically showed it without a license.
Who dropped a dime, though?
I don't know. How do you find out?
My daughter's school has these movie nights all the time. Why this one out of what is presumably the millions of school of movie nights?
I read something that it was somebody posted something on social media that somebody who worked for Disney saw.
Oh, yeah, like having a great
like
time
the
at the
worst
fundraiser.
Asshole in the universe was like, you know what? I'm going to drop the dime
just
on that.
Just you should know.
Yeah.
I wonder if Tessa's school is clearing the stuff. Like, I doubt it.
I bet they are.
Right. Well, I can tell you.
Stupid question. Sorry, bro.
I can tell you from high schools, college, community theater, if you're doing a production of anything, like if you're some little podunk high school in the middle of nowhere, you do not have the licensing rights to do Hamilton until, you know, the year 2023 or whatever. You cannot do the musical. So I guess this is an extension of that. I don't know.
Could somebody take your book, Adam? Like, let's say somebody took your book on their podcast and they said, not that I did this, but don't look back at it. But if someone took your book and was like, oh, Adam, I'm going to read this.
In 50 years, we'll all be chicks.
Can they do that?
Here's what I figured out.
Adam doesn't care.
He doesn't give a shit.
Technically, everything's illegal.
Okay.
Technically, everything is illegal. And when you're playing a snippet of the Super Bowl commercial mm-hmm. that was the winners and the losers, anyone could cease and desist or sue or anything at any time. Most people just kind of keep walking. Disney's made $13
billion.
You'd think they could just keep walking over the $250. I think their thing is sort of like, well, you know, first it's grade schools, and then it's junior highs. And the next thing you know,
you're showing Aladdin in high school.
Right. You're selling tickets.
Yeah,
I think their whole thing is nip everything in the bud, be super litigious, and no one will ever do anything. And
there's certain
companies that work that way. But everything technically, somebody can sue you over, and then you have to argue that it was parody or you're making commentary on it or whatever.
Have you ever sued anybody for stealing any of your shit? Because you've done so much stuff.
No.
I'm sure people are stealing your stuff.
I never look at it as stealing. Like, my feeling is if Dan Dunn wants to read a couple of pages of my book to his audience, A, I'm flattered, and B, I might move a few copies.
Yeah, it's free promotion. Yeah.
That's all I've always been that way.
I get Google alerts all the time about my books that say, oh, you know, and it's, I'm like, oh, maybe somebody said something nice. And it's just always like something that's like, here, download it for free.
Right.
I'm like, fuck. All right.
Right.
Speaking of million versus billion, it's so funny. It just reminded me, I read this article this morning.
Table wobbling? Dan Dunn. Sorry.
Fran Drescher was telling this random story about when Donald Trump appeared on The Nanny. And, you know, just to do a little guest star. This is a million years ago. And one of the lines where she was talking to, the millionaire that she lived with.
Mm-hmm.
And Donald Trump showing up to take her on a date. So like, oh, you millionaires are all alike. And whatever, that's the line. And Donald Trump's people got back to them immediately and said, we have a huge problem with that joke, with that line. What do you think the problem was?
Didn't say billionaire.
That's right.
Yeah, that's
and she
the way
said,
Trump
my character, you know, wouldn't know the difference between a millionaire and a billionaire. They're all millionaires. So they had to compromise. And Donald Trump thought it was appropriate that they compromised on, you zillionaires are all alike.
Wow.
Isn't that great?
That's something she would say.
Right.
Who was it that told the story about being on the Donald Trump roast and how everyone can have that one thing, they say one thing you can't joke about, you know, William Shatner's dead wife or whatever. Whoever it was, like, the one thing we were told we couldn't make a joke about, of all things, was he doesn't have as much money as he says he has.
Right.
Yeah.
It was
Dana,
a guest.
It was one of those things.
Yeah, it's
right.
So funny.
God, remember in remember in sitcoms when, like, you were growing up or younger, 80s, 90s sitcoms, like, rich people were rich. They had, like, step-down living rooms and help.
Sunken.
And super high ceilings everywhere.
Going to your house.
There was just like,
yeah,
like
silver spoons.
That's kind of rich guy stuff. And I'm rich, and everyone's just walking around in fucking sweatpants yelling at each other. Like, there's no one rings a bell.
There's a decorum.
There's nothing being served.
You don't have
under
you
glass.
You don't have Benson. You have no Benson.
There's no Mr. Benson.
There's a Guatemalan chick in my kitchen yelling at my dog. I'll kick him if he comes in here. Like, that's there's no rich guy stuff anymore.
Where's Mr. Belvedere?
Yeah, everyone's walking around in fucking flip-flops and cargo shorts and flying Southwest.
Who was the richest person on TV? Was it Dynasty? Would it have been that guy?
Maybe.
Would it have been
Falcon Crest?
There was the Fresh Prince kind of stuff. Like,
there
was just rich. It was that's a rich guy.
Well, Billions. Answer. I guess there's the show Billions.
Oh, now.
Yeah,
I got the
guys.
Answer. Richer than all those people put together. Scrooge McDuck.
Oh, yeah.
He dove into a lake of gold.
That's right. That's true.
He swam.
Well, we were talking about Jessica Simpson's book the other day, and Adam, you, Mr. TMZ, brought up her connection with John Mayer. You, sir, right.
Yeah.
Some more details are coming out about the book, which hit bookstores on Tuesday. It's called Open Book.
My liver's a wonderland about now.
Jessica says she split with Tony Romo because the football star thought she was cheating on him with John Mayer. So Jessica admits that she returned to John about 9 times throughout their on again off again relationship.
How many?
I'm waiting.
Well, was she with Romo when she was?
Well, here's the thing. Nine times.
Mm-hmm.
When she was dating Romo, Mayer continued to contact her, and she said that he just held this thing over her. Like, she just couldn't, keep herself away from him.
She couldn't quit him.
That's right.
So you know what it was? He didn't have Dan Dunn, Adam Carolla penis.
That's right. That's probably true.
He had a much more memorable penis than us.
So Mayer stayed close to her family, and one day her father brought him over to the house when she was in town. Soon after, Romo saw an email from Mayer on Simpson's phone and accused her of being unfaithful, broke it off with her. Afterwards, she reunited with Mayer. She can't stay away for a few months, but she finally broke up with him for good after his 2010 interview in Playboy where he said she was sexual napalm.
Oh, that was...
That was a compliment, though, right?
Well, she didn't like it, and maybe she thought that was going to be the nail in the coffin for the Romo relationship. I don't know.
Right, that's where the Wonderland thing and the... I was confused with
Jessica
her and...
Alba?
No.
Who was it?
Wonderland's Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Oh.
Love Hewitt, but that's the napalm thing.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Something about that guy.
I bet you could take out the Wonderland with the napalm, like you call in and have 14 strike and just fucking get them both
just
burned.
Just strafe it.
We have Trump's rules for the roast from whom?
Yeah, so this is what some of the writers have been saying, also confirmed by Anthony Jeselnik. So this is what you're allowed to joke about when you're roasting Donald Trump. His hair, his wife, him having sex with models, Trump's steaks, water, Trump cologne, Trump's failed casinos, Trump only became successful thanks to his wealthy father, Trump's weight, and Trump being attracted to his daughter.
but by no means. Yeah.
There's only one thing that was not
allowed. Not Jessica Simpson's dad, sorry.
One thing that was not allowed. Any joke that suggests Trump is not actually as wealthy as he claims to be.
Well, there it is.
As Trump's wife or daughter, how insulted are you with what's on the table and what isn't for the roast?
I don't know. Yes, you should be plenty insulted. You should be super insulted.
Can I ask a question here?
Sure.
I met John Mayer at the Comedy Store. He walked in with Jeff Ross, and he said, Jeff's like, hey, I knew him. And he said, oh, yeah, I'm John. Mm. I said, I know who you are. What's the correct response? Like, you got it. Like, when people are that famous,
right.
Like, what is the correct response there? Should I just pretend like I don't know who he is when he says I'm John and go, hey, John, is that the...
Yeah. No, sure. John Mayer, of course.
I said, I know who you are. Yeah. Yeah, I know who you are. Is that wrong
to say
that?
Did that freak him out or something?
No, he was fine.
I think, oh, yeah, sure, yeah, kind of affirmative. Oh, yeah, of course. Oh,
I'm sorry.
Course.
What is it again, Brad? Oh. What?
Not a Pitt? Very dead-eyed, I know who
I don't know.
You are.
I just the fact that I'm thinking about it makes me feel bad about myself. But I was just like, do I tell him... Of course I know you're John Mayer, or do I just pretend like we're, you know...
I know Ross, Jeff Ross, well. He's not really even friends with John Mayer. It's just John is working on a song called Your Body's a Garbage Barge, and he needed, like, a little, block, yeah. You know what I mean? Some guys go for a run, you know?
Some guys call Jeff Ross.
Sorry. Jeff Ross, I used to write for Talk Soup, and Jeff Ross guest hosted one time, and he came on the show. I wrote most of the episode. I was very excited. It was him and Ralphie May.
Sure.
I think he's dead now, right, Ralphie? But Ralphie came on, and
that's why John went to Jeff.
Jeff died. Jeff proceeded to not do any.
No.
Like, we had the teleprompter, nothing. He did none of the jokes that I did. He went on, and I was like, he took his shirt off, he clipped the mic to his chest hair, and he just winged it. And so when I saw him at the Comedy Store, I said, hey, man, I remember I was at Talk Soup Guy. And he goes, oh, you're the fucking fucker? Like that. Like basically to me. And I was like, all right, I'm going to go now. He's like, no, come on in here, have a drink. And that's when John Mayer introduced himself as John. And I.
What an awkward and fascinating evening.
It was.
I just did Talk Soup with Drew as well and had a epic teleprompter debacle.
Oh, you guessed it. You guessed it on Talk Soup.
Yeah, Drew a million years ago.
Was it funny?
I kept saying to them, it's perfect showbiz. I kept saying, look, they were saying, we load up the story, we load up the teleprompter, you hit the teleprompter. Mm-hmm. I was like, look, I can barely read, and I'm talking to Drew the whole time.
Right.
Drew
when
and
are you
I,
gonna look out?
We talk back and forth to each other. So I said, get the picture. Put the beats. Just put a couple of beats on the picture. That's a picture of the guy's name, whatever the official particulars were, and just put the beats on there. And they're like, oh, okay, well, just put the beats on there. And then I started thinking about it. I was like, I'm not going to. I circled back a couple of days later. I was like, I don't want to show up with a loaded teleprompter. It's just not going to work. Right. It's just not going to work. Just put the beats. And like, oh, okay. And then it was literally like three times back and forth. And then we showed up, and the teleprompter was completely. Filled
fully
to the gill.
Loaded.
And then I would like turn to Drew and then Drew would like read my stuff and that makes me read his stuff. And it was like, it wouldn't work. And I was like, look, we got to clear the teleprompter, put the beats in. And they were like, well, okay, we can try that. And I was like, oh, you could have tried it 4 days ago when I told you this is what we just went over. And then I went on 11-9 and I started yelling at all of them. And then they did the move where they're like, what the fuck? What are you yelling at us for? And it's like, because I told you this thing five times. You never did it. It turned out funny. I knew it would work well. Drew and I just work the beats. We work off the cuff. You know, it's, we work together. I was like, just put the beats. It'll be easy. They wouldn't do it. And then they got pissed when I yelled at them. That is my, that would have been circa like 2000, 99 or something like that.
That was, yeah, that was right before me. Right, it would have gone you. Way more smoothly if, had I been there.
Sure,
it would
of
have
it.
Been. And the other thing they did was, remember the soup bowls that would float in the background? Mm-hmm. So what Jeff wanted to do was, instead of the soup bowls, he wanted it to be Ralphie's face. And Ralphie took his shirt off too.
Oh boy.
Not the best. The one we just, the
Harvey?
The Harvey. Harvey looked like Brad Pitt compared to Ralphie. And so Ralphie had his shirt off and we were kind of focused on his face. So his face just floated behind Jeff. I think they were drunk. And it was 9 a.m. Like, was
let me defend them. They were super high.
Okay. They're probably high. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just remember sitting there and it was like, I really like Jeff Ross. And I was like, man, I'm so excited for him to nail my jokes. He didn't say one word that I wrote. He ignored the whole thing. The thing was going and he just was going, it was not funny at all. But I guess looking back, it's a story. You know?
He had fun.
Jeff did. Yeah.
Well, speaking of beautiful people, first it was Bella Hadid, now it's Robert Pattinson. Last year, so we talked about the Bella Hadid one already. The British newspaper Daily Mail named her the most beautiful woman in the world, and the paper is now saying Robert Pattinson is the most handsome man in the world. There's a picture of Bella. So the Daily Mail makes this determination, and we talked about this. It was this Dr. Julian De Silva, who bases it on the quote-unquote science of the golden ratio of beauty five. The ratio is a measure of physical perfection, reportedly adapted from the golden ratio artists and architects would use during the European Renaissance to map out their masterpieces. So to get the ratio, measurements of the face are taken and calculated. They said on a perfect face, the length of an ear is equal to the length of the nose, and the width of the eye is equal to the distance between the eyes.
Yeah. On the same note, Dan, you know if your hand is bigger than your face, you're retarded.
Come on, put it out there.
Come walk. You got to walk over.
No,
I can't reach him.
No, the Golden Artist Circle said that you had to. That Gina's going to get to that part, but that's how it works.
Yeah, that's the follow story. So Pattinson was found to be 92.15% quote unquote accurate. Following him was Henry Cavill at 91.64, Bradley Cooper 91.08, and Brad Pitt 90.51, and finally the bottom of the barrel. Ugh. George Clooney, 89.91.
We should submit our mailman. You know what I mean? Like, blow this thing up when it comes up with like a 91.
They do this every year, right? They do man and woman every year?
Well, last year they did Bella Hadid. This year, now they're doing Robert Pattinson.
Who's her sister? Don't she have that model?
Gigi.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Gigi Hadid.
Yeah. So there one of them's better than the other, I guess.
Which one? Because
I can't remember. I think I like Gigi a little better.
I think Gigi's a cuter.
Yeah, she's.
But I don't think anyone gives a shit.
I don't find Robert Pattinson that attractive.
Agreed.
Personally. I think
Gigi's on the left.
Gigi's the blonde. Yeah.
Of this picture, I think I find attractive. Gigi more attractive than Bella.
Bella has kind of more of a Cher vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So wait, you're saying the one on the right they're saying is perfect? Oh, perfect. Not even close.
Yeah,
Gigi's way more attractive.
I think Gigi's more attractive.
Okay.
Way more attractive.
Mm-hmm. You can argue with them about that.
We're doing a lot of, in this day and age, lots of focus on the aesthetic. I thought that was like, we're kind of simultaneously weird with that stuff.
Right.
Like,
I'm just tired of being objectified. You know?
Yeah.
Like, that's, you know, like, come on.
Well, you want to find
what
someone
about my soul?
Likes you
my
for
spirit.
You.
Gina.
Spirits.
Cool. My spirits, yeah.
So Kansas City Chiefs fans lined up early Tuesday morning for the big Super Bowl parade and got a whole lot more excitement.
We get it. You guys won.
Before you stripped down, Brian. Before the players even climbed onto the floats. A driver slammed his car through barricades and over curbs and drove down the parade route, and police tried to stop him. I'll show you in a second. A police cruiser eventually used a pit maneuver to spin the car around, disable it. The driver, who was said to be impaired, was arrested. Police are working on a motive. The Kansas City Police Department says the scene is secure. The parade will go on. Here's some video that onlookers took from the window, and they are very Kansas City.
No way.
Oh, my God.
No way.
Cops are chasing.
Did the pit maneuver.
Another guy rammed him.
Look at all those guns being pulled.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Well, of course.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
guns.
Caden, shut up.
Totally Kansas City. Nobody says fuck. Like, everybody here be like, ah, Jesus Christ, fuck.
What a day.
Look at the helicopter. They have a police helicopter up there.
Holy moly.
Yeah, they do.
Cool.
Holy crap is very Midwestern. Golly.
I was watching the longer version of this, and this guy, you know, pulls out, and the cops are hitting him, and they're trying to do the pit maneuver and spin him out. They spin him out once, and he gets right again. He kind of goes over the curb, and they're just banging around on him, and it's going on for a while. And then I start getting angry because all the cars are getting the fender benders that just park it on the lanes in the LA freeway and they can't fucking go anywhere.
This guy's a hero.
This guy's getting parked. He's knocked around. But I started thinking about it. What are we even doing sitting by the side of the freeway? Why don't we just pull the fuck off the freeway? Like, you know when the cop sometimes he lights you up and you start pulling over shoulder. And he's like, get off on the next exit. And, you know, you get off and you go to a little side street and you're not holding anyone up. And there's no danger. Mm-hmm. So now it's a choice between the person who got into the fender bender either just stopping in the lane in the freeway or pulling to the shoulder and having a confab on the side, and everyone's rubbernecking and slowing down. Then the cop pulls up. Just get off. Why don't we just make a rule that if you get into an accident and your car operates, and if you watch, Max Zapata will find this longer version of this because I hit it earlier today. I liked it or whatever. Cars, anyone's done the Toyota Grand Prix Celebrity Race five times, like I have, can tell you cars take incredible amounts of damage and can still keep racing and still keep running. This is the police video of this car, and it's like it's a gray car. It's got a couple of black cruisers behind it, and the guy comes up and goes full Malachi Crunch on the side, knocks the mirror off. Now he's trying to spin him, but he goes around him. Now he's getting into the parade route.
What's amazing is none of the people are running. I'd be running for the let me get out of the way.
Now the cruiser's going to come up again, and they're going to try the spin move on him another time. Now they're pinching him between two cars, and he does pull off the pit maneuver, but the guy gets straight again. Now he goes over the curb, but he's still driving just fine. I mean, I see cars with scratches on the bumpers and both people out of the car. He tries it again. He's still driving fine, right?
Yeah.
Get the fuck off the freeway. And eventually he gets rammed.
No!
And that's when it ends. But if that front car didn't ram him, he would have just drove off again. So let's get the word out that if you get in a little fender bender, pull off. Get off the freeway altogether.
Completely.
Just take it slow, put on the hazards, get on the shoulder, go the next off-ramp, and pull it the fuck off.
But what about the scene of the crime that I got lightly tapped on the freeway?
Yes.
You know what that would mitigate and eliminate? Is the of all of our millions of pet peeves, do we share this? When cop pulls person over on the freeway, everyone starts to slow down as though that cop's going to abandon their fucking pullover and chase them down.
Right.
Like, oh, I got to slow down. There's a cop outside of his car.
It's the one time you could really blow by the cop.
It's the one time you should go.
Like, you can't leave.
He's outside of his goddamn car.
Yeah.
But everyone slows down.
I think it's more schadenfreude than it is actual. He's going to jump back in the car. It's like, look at that poor loser.
We want to see what the
soccer
scene
mom.
Is.
Yeah, there's a rubberneck. Well, it's both. It's a reminder of cops. Uh-huh. Like when you just see, like if you're just driving down the street and someone showed you a picture of a cop car, you'd go, oh, slow down.
It's the reptile brands where lights, cop,
yeah,
lights,
slow down, rubberneck, whole nine yards, schadenfreude, whatever. But either way, if they just all just pulled it off,
just go. Nice.
What a utopia. All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Your body's a garbage barge?
Gina Grad! That was the news with Gina Grad.
Funny, everyone took their shirts off. Geico, last but not least, Geico. Do you own? Do you rent? Well, either way, you have homeowner's insurance. You have renter's insurance. How about you bundle it? Take those two policies, or at least one of them, and bundle it with the automotive stuff at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. Go to geico.com, spend a couple of minutes, and see just how much you could save, and get a quote, and find out the best price at Geico. That is geico.com. All right, Cleveland Hilarities coming up, and Helium at Indianapolis coming up after that. That's February 27th and 28th and 29th, doing stand-up there. Go to amcroll.com for all that ails you, and
go ahead and check out Uppity on Netflix. It's official. And give it a nice rating somewhere on IMDb or Rotten Tomatoes or something like that. And go to chassy.com, and pick up a Blu-ray, a copy, or whatever, all the stuff we have there. Good sports coming up next. Dan Dunn. What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn. Great podcast. I've been on it a few times. Be happy to come back anytime you like. Available on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe, rate, and review. And the video series, The Top 5 Guy. And it's coming soon to Flavors YouTube channel. Good to see you again, Dan Dunn.
Good to see you guys.
And until next time, it's Adam Kroll with Dan Dunn, Gina Grandball, Brian Say it. Mahalo.
We know he's a predator, we know he's a rapist, but no body shaming.
Today's episode of Good Sports with Dave Damaschek and Adam Carolla is coming up next. Stick around.
The Carolla Drinks Wine Club has arrived. We're bringing you all the bottles you can drink and more perks than you know what to do with. For those who just want to dip their toes into the wine club, our 3 and 6 pack clubs will get you 3 shipments a year, 10% off all wine orders, and a DVD of the long-awaited Uppity, plus more and more goodies throughout the year. For those who want to dive in head first, our Case Club will get you 3 shipments a year, 10% off all wine orders, a DVD of Uppity, and 2 tickets to the Carolla Family Barbecue, featuring the entire ACS family, a lineup of comedians, all the food and booze you can consume, a photo with Adam, Bald, and Gina in the ACS studio, and a private concert from The Offspring. But wait, there's more. For renewing Case Club members only, you'll get a private tequila and cigar tasting with the unholy trinity of Adam, Drew, and Garrigus before the barbecue even begins. For those who want to attend the party of the year without having delicious booze sent to your door 3 times a year, tickets are available for sale at CorollaDrinks.com. So prep your livers. The Carolla Drinks Wine Club is back.
Good sport.
It's time for a sports segment.
Good sport.
It's time for Ace and Dave.
Good sport.
It's time to get it started.
NFL highlights. Mixed martial arts fights.
Riffing on bad stuff. Breaking the fruits of the year. Dave's recapping hockey.
Good sports.
Ace is getting talking.
Good sports.
Shooting jerks with blasters.
Good sports.
Nasally podcasters.
Good sports. Ace and Shecky, let's do it. Good sports.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of Good Sports. Dave Damaschek here, Adam Carolla over there, Ace. The Super Bowl's in our rearview mirror. The story in sports, nay, in the world, continues to be Kobe Bryant. It seems like it covered up the Super Bowl, impeachment, Curb Your Enthusiasm, and I don't even know what else. And you and I haven't kibitzed about it yet, and so I was interested in your thoughts. The striking thing to me is, though, versus any other athlete death that I can recall, it's the athletes, Kobe's contemporaries, because I won't call them his peers because he had few in sport, but his contemporaries revere him in the same way we do any other athlete. It's fascinating how much they are genuflecting to Kobe and what he meant to them and what he will mean to them going forward. And I'm curious, I have my hypotheses, but why do you suppose that other athletes hold Kobe in such high regard?
I think we used to not put such a crazy emphasis on effort and the unwillingness to lose and the never-ending willingness to win. Michael Jordan was that way, and they've talked about guys being competitors and things like that. But this new era where this effort seems to be some commodity that maybe, my theory is, the more safe spaces there are, the more octagons open up,
Hmm.
That there's this more in this day and age of people being sort of soft and lazy and mailing it in and given, you know, given 75 cents on the effort dollar, that the guy who is going to do it through sheer will, somehow there's a zeitgeist where, because that's what people are talking about. You know, they're not talking about his physicality and they're not talking about his ability and they're not talking about his vertical or any of that. They're talking about his will to win and his drive. And then, you know, you take the day of the accident. It's Sunday morning. He attends church with his daughter before the helicopter. Like, he probably worked out before he got on, went to church. You know what I mean? This is why I always work out at night. Because if there's something tragic, catastrophic happens during the day, then I don't want to have gotten a workout in before.
Last hours spent doing something, something dreary like working out.
Work out at night. So I get cleaned out by a drunk driver on the way home from work. I don't want to have worked out earlier that day.
What did he do? Well, he spent many hours in advance of his untimely passing watching TV.
On a rowing machine with the sound out.
No. Watching TV.
Yeah, that's what
I
want.
Watching Roadhouse on a loop.
On my list, by the way, of things I want, you know, jump into a body of water and, you know, knife in the mouth and the cape removed. I have added getting into a horrific skiing accident where I tumbled down a cliff and have the doctors announce that I would be dead if I wasn't such a fantastic physical specimen. And they would have to keep saying that. You know, this would have killed anybody else. If he wasn't in such fantastic shape, he'd be dead. That's what's
His unnatural strength allowed him to survive what would have killed most
men. At a press conference with doctors. So his effort, his motor, I think is what people are now being drawn to in this age. And they didn't used to talk about they talk about Michael Jordan. They didn't talk about Dr. J or Bill Walton, and as a matter of fact, it was sort of like, Kareem, he's lazy, doesn't get back down on defense. But they didn't really, motor wasn't a thing. Even Magic, who had an incredible motor, didn't talk about his motor that much. He had a love. He had a love of the game, you know what I mean? But Kobe had this crazy Mamba time or whatever we call it,
Mamba mentality. Yeah, right.
And that's what everyone's vibing on now.
It's interesting, too. Unlike to my ear, Peyton Manning attempted late in his career to self nickname, which is generally, you know, shameful. Don't do that. I don't know if you heard. I'm the sheriff. Like, you're not the sheriff. Cut that crap out, Peyton.
Right.
Let's just go with 18 or something like that. It's too late to try to self. But Kobe willed Mamba onto himself, and everybody signed off. Nobody was like, no, come on. You can't be Mamba. But yes, I think
you're also in a league when 86% of the people are black, you putting the black in front of something seems a little redundant, or at least like a harder sell. You know what I mean? When you get the rapper, and the rapper does the white chocolate thing, then it's like, all right, I get it. He's in a sea of dark chocolate, and he's the white guy in there or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I see what you're saying.
So even a tougher sell.
I think
that was the ethic.
It's funny that I think it's part of the human condition. We, as you always say, the converse is, too much like himself. You know, that's what he hates about him. The reality is, Kimmel did a great show a couple of weeks ago, or what was that now? About, 8, 9 days ago, 10 days ago, whatever. And it's no wonder that those two would get along, because I remember saying when I left Jimmy Kimmel Live to go and participate on the Adam Carolla show back in 2006, or I said, advice, what's the thought? He said, outwork everybody. It's not Kimmel's not, you know, Kimmel's obviously a funny guy, but we get you in a room and Sal and Josh Gardner and everybody else. You know, it's not like, well, Jimmy's obviously the funniest one in the room. It's that he outworks everybody, as he has a talent, and Kobe, great talent, but then those two, they just if you outwork everybody, then how could anything go wrong? If you outwork everybody. And I think that's right. And also, there are a lot of swagger and trash talking guys like Kobe in the NBA and in sports, but the difference is, and my favorite thing in sports is, Cinderella stories are great when a guy's like, wait, that guy?
is the reason that they won the World Series? Who thought that guy would do it? That's cool, and it's fun to make a movie out of that guy. But the greatest thing in sports is when you're in the stadium or in the arena or you're watching on TV, and you can feel both sidelines know it, and everybody in the world watching it knows it. Like, well, the only chance this team has is if that guy does it. And then he does it. That's what Kobe did. And I think even professional athletes, uber competitive all, look at that and say, man, that was something different. And I think it's an interesting, like I say, what I hear for all the tributes to Kobe is the way, you know, I don't want to put that on anybody, but, you know, whoever my favorite athlete back in Pittsburgh, Mario Lemieux or anybody else, what happened to him? If I grew up, because that's right, we're a little older, but if you're 35, 40 years old and in L.A., you grew up. It wasn't Magic Johnson you watched. He played before you were watching TV, and you certainly don't know what Kareem looked like in his prime. Kobe was your guy, and for 20 years, and so we fans all can relate to that, but it's interesting to listen to how much reverence even professional athletes have for that guy. I'm surprised. More than my number one emotion, not to sound soulless about his death and the other people's on the helicopter, is I'm surprised. Like I had no idea how big Kobe was.
Well, there's also this, which is we're living in a reverence based culture where you have to write the guy's number on your shoes and you have to come out with a tweet. And I don't know, you tell me where you stand on this, because every time something like this happens, I see everyone weighs in. And you should weigh in if you were a teammate, a coach, or you had a relationship, work with, work for, whatever that is. I should not be weighing in because I never have a relationship with Kobe. But I don't know. Maybe you should weigh in. Like, it's always questionable. Like, you know, like, I don't know that I need to hear that much from Alyssa Milano about Kobe's death. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, maybe she's better than I am for weighing in. On the other hand, maybe she's just virtue signaling, so we think she's better than I am.
I completely agree with the sentiment that you're laying out, because I think random people or other or celebrities, that's right. If you, I feel like, I think the dynamic goes like, oh my God, I'm devastated by this. I was a huge Kobe fan. If you're a random guy in LA, I mean, I like describe it. I'm a 37-year-old guy. Kobe gave me so many great moments of reflected glory, and that's what fans get from watching sports. And it's like, but wait a second. Then at some point, it hits your brain. Oh, I don't know him. He's just somebody who I watched on TV. And then you feel a weird pang of guilt or whatever the emotion would be called. And then that leads you to, I also have to honor the other people that were there. It's like that on a human level. Yes, we understand human tragedy. We all have human tragedy. And hopefully we it's limited for each of us, but we all go through that. But why it rises is because, yeah, he was in your life for 20 years and you watched him grow. And he, like I say, he thrilled you, and you watched him three nights a week, and you watched him in interviews and everything else. He is a part of your intellect. He's a part of your emotional makeup at some point, especially when he wins and he's on your team for two decades like that. I completely agree, though, that then people reach for something more. How do I rationalize why I care so much? I have to figure out it's because I wanted to see what his next act was going to be. That's been a big one. It's like, it's enough to say his largesse, what he did for you as a legend. You know, there's no shame. It's not childish to love an athlete like that. I don't think.
I agree.
All right, but we'll wrap it up there.
I still, my feeling is you got to send the tweets out if you had some kind of, you have to have some kind of relationship.
Gotta know. I mean, a lot of people like to post photographs of them with somebody, which is a little whatever. I took a picture with this person once. Ergo, I have to weigh in on this subject. But anyway, good stuff, Ace. We'll be back with one more for you to wrap the sports week up. Until then, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damaschek, good sports out.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and get your tickets and info on everything at adamcarolla.com.